everyone, okay? What I do, everything I do, has an effect on others. And I have to be careful that my purpose will not be the thing to make them or cause them to fall. Now, we're in a world today where you'd be surprised how many times we'll get a Christian that'll do something, and when they come, they talk to me, and I'll say, you know, what made you do that? And their answer will be, well, I wanted to. And that should be good enough as far as they're concerned, but that's what I wanted to do. And we have that mentality today of living off of what we want to do, not off of what he says. We don't have the reverence and the fear and the love that we're supposed to have, so we tend to miss out on what we're supposed to do. Now, if you turn your bulletins over, this command, the top command, which we hear a lot of, but we usually hear it on what's called known relationships. Known relationships. Philippians 2:3-4 says, do nothing. Everybody say nothing. What does nothing include? All things. Okay. So it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Now, breaking that down, selfish ambition means for me. Based on me. Do nothing based on me, and do nothing based solely on how I see it. Do y'all get that? Okay, so do nothing based on me, and do nothing based on how I see it. He says, but in humility, consider. Everybody say consider. Okay, I got to take that into mind. That's going to come up a lot today. Consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only at your own interests, but also the interests of others. Now, once again, when I'm talking to people that are in a relationship of some sort, and I tell this, they're talking about each other, and they usually know each other in that. But I'm using this now for people you don't know. Amen? People that you're going to come in contact with that you may never say a word to, but how you're living is ministering to them or doing something negative if you're not careful. If you're not watching yourself, how you may be may affect others. That's why I have this means I must consider all others before I do anything, before I go anywhere, before I wear anything, and before I say anything. And I have to consider all others. Everybody with me? Okay. So we got to make sure that our focus and everything is on what God wants us to do for people, not what my freedom is and what I want to wear and how I want to live, and I don't care about the other person, because we affect everybody one way or the other, and this is where we have to be careful with. We got to be accountable to one another. Now watch this. God gives us freedom to do anything. Just know we are responsible for everyone we affect. Key word, everyone. He says in 1 Corinthians 8:9-13, it says, be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. Did you catch that? He says, be careful that the exercise of your freedom. Now, it's called a freedom because you can go ahead and do it. There's something you can do, and you go ahead and follow it. But watch what he says. He says, for if anyone with a weak conscience sees you have this knowledge eating in an idol's temple. Let me set this up first. And if you get a chance, you want to read a little further back. What he's saying is Christians at the time who knew the word understood idols were meaningless. There was nothing there to it. And as long as you weren't trying to worship the idol, it's fine. And what people used to do is they used to take their food to an idol, and the idol was supposed to do something to the food. And then when they ate it, it was supposed to give them some sort of spiritual strength. Christians would just eat, and it meant nothing. So they were like, it was no big deal. I'll eat from an idol or from that, but I'm not worshiping an idol. He's saying there's weaker ones that would see them doing that and saying, wait, Christians are doing it. Why can't we? Do y'all get this? And it's saying, so if you're doing this based on your knowledge and what you know, he said, when the weak conscience sees you have this knowledge eating in an idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. Think about that. Now, you're thinking, well, there's nothing wrong with doing this. But they're looking at it the wrong way. And now they're doing it the wrong way based off of your knowledge. And I'll explain what that means. He says, when you sin, in fact, let me explain now before I go into how to sin, because there's a lot of things that as we study and we grow in the word, we become more mature, right? There's certain freedoms that we realize. Hopefully Christians realize the idols are meaningless. You understand that? Now, idols are in different form for us today that we have to be careful of, but the worship of idols is what's wrong. You understand? He said, them statues, there's nothing to those statues. They're just carved images by man. There's absolutely nothing to them. Now, you'll have some that still think they have power. We'll still give them power. And not only that, they'll give them power in their lives. People still have good luck charms. People still have things in their houses in which they think are adding some sort of strength or protection to their homes. Am I correct? Now, Christians who are stronger realize, nope, it's nothing. You just have an object in your house. Weaker Christians, and why he says this Christian is destroyed, I don't know if you remember, there's a study we're going over, and there's a verse in the Bible which shows us the act of worshiping him is worshiping demons. Does that make sense? Okay? So it's not the idol itself. It's the act of doing it. So if you get a weak Christian and they see you have some statue in your house and they think you're worshiping it, they're going to think, I'm going to get a statue and it's going to protect my house. Now they're in the practice of worshiping. Okay, hopefully you get that. It's a lot of information in one little setting there. But this is what's happening. Because I may be more mature and I may notice it, I may do an action in freedom that could cause you to fall. And what he's saying is, I'm held responsible for that. He shows us, he says, when you sin against your brother in this way and wound their weak conscience, watch this, you sin against Christ. Did y'all catch that? Okay, now I know you may say, but my intention wasn't to sin, okay? But sin comes in me not following him. If I didn't consider what I was doing and consider how it can affect others and just go, oh, there's no problem with this, right? And I just do it, I'm held responsible. He says, therefore, if what I eat causes my brothers to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again so that I will not cause him to fall. Now, what he did say was, if my brother doesn't like me eating meat, I will never eat meat again. Be careful on that. We're going to talk about that at the end of this. Because sometimes we think a person's liking or what a person desires is what we're supposed to live for. That's not what it means. It means if my actions or my freedom could cause you to sin, I have to stop it. Do you understand that? If I realize it's causing a problem, it's not worth it. Does that make sense? All right. I think this fits perfectly today. The Bible says you could drink, but you can't get drunk. Do you understand that? Now, you get Christians that'll rush after that. You know, oh, they told me I can drink. And they'll drink in front of everybody and all the time. The Bible didn't say I can't drink. And they'll do it not realizing you'll get a weak Christian that's sitting there going, oh, so we can drink anything you want. And they're getting drunk. Now, that's a sin to get drunk. Plain and simple. I don't care what you call it. A buzz is drunk, however you call it. So Christians should go, you know what? I could, but I'm not. Just putting that out there. Do you understand that? Okay. Even though you're allowed to, sometimes you will go, you know what? I don't know what these people in the setting might think. I could give the wrong message. I could cause them to sin. Does everybody get this? Amen. So we have to be very careful on how we do things, because that's what Paul was showing. He's like, something like eating meat. He was like, if that caused my brother to fall, I'll never do it again. I will give up my freedom in order for you not to fall. That's true love. And that's how we're supposed to show it. Now, my freedoms must take a backseat to other people, okay? 1 Corinthians 10, 23-24 says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. He says, nobody should seek his own good. Let me stop there, because that's a straightforward statement right there. Nobody should seek his own good. Did y'all catch that? Now, you're saying, well, Pastor, why is that a problem? Shouldn't I seek what's good for me? Well, you seek the Lord, and that's going to give you good, right? So I don't live based on what I think is good. I live on God's good, what's truly good. So when it's saying nobody should seek his own good, it's saying I shouldn't live based on how I want and what I want. But look what it says, but the good of others. Does that make sense? In other words, I don't go, well, I'm comfortable with this. I'm happy with this. I could care less about y'all. Right? That's like me coming in here and saying, turn the heat up to 90. I'm comfortable. Rest of y'all are dying out there sweating and everything. I'm like, what? You're going to have to get used to it. As long as I'm happy. Don't we do that sometimes? Like, how we live our lives is based on, I don't care about you. Not realizing you have to answer to God for that. He's very clear about that. He's not going to go, well, you had the freedom. They need to grow up. That's not for you to say. For you, you'll go, you know what, if this is causing discomfort, if this is causing them to fall, if this is causing them to stumble, I'm going to have to change something in order to help my brother. We must be conscious that how we live won't hurt others. So in other words, I have to make up my mind when I go out, I'm careful how I walk. So yep, I'm saying every day you're walking on the proverbial eggshell. You understand? And with your, yep, I got to watch everything I'm saying, everything I'm doing, because I don't know who I'm affecting. It says in Romans 14, verse 13, it says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Now, as you notice it, he says, stop passing judgment. The Greek word for that is condemning. Okay, there's a difference between judging, like Christians are supposed to do with one another, and passing judgment. When I pass judgment, I already say this is what you are. You understand? You are a bad person. You are going to hell. You are this and that. We have no right to do that. We as Christians have no right to do that. Never, ever. However, we are supposed to assess a situation that a person's in order to help them out of it. Does that make sense? Okay? Because remember, he says there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So I have no right to tell you what you are, but I can say, hey, I'm concerned because of the path you're going. You understand? It's getting you in a bad place. What can I do to help you out of it? Okay? So he says, we're going to stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, and I like this, he says, make up your mind not to put any stumbling blocks or obstacles in your brother's way. So I'm going to live my life making sure, you know what, I don't know how this is going to affect that person. So I have to think of everybody. Isn't that crazy? I got to wake up, and you're like, I got so many other things on my mind. Now you're telling me I got to think of everybody, right? Can they be affected by the music? Can they be affected how I dress? Can they be affected by what I'm eating? Yes, absolutely. And I have to consider all of it. Think about it. Things I have to keep in mind. Now, please know this. Meaning well is meaningless if it's not for God. I'm going to say that again. Meaning well is meaningless if it's not for God. That's the saying that we use. How many times have you done something and you meant well? Okay, I meant well. We even allow our kids, if you told them to do something, they did something else, and they give you this answer, but I was doing this, and you go, oh, well, they meant well. There's a danger in meaning well and not being well. Let me show you what that means. Now, we know the story, and we read this a lot of times, of what when Jesus explains to his disciples of what's going to happen. He was teaching them as he normally did. And as he's teaching them this, Peter, who meant well, out of his human love, basically said, nope, you're not going to die. This is not going to happen to you. What is the matter with you? But Jesus replied, as he says in Matthew 16, verse 23, he says, Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Now, here's the part I want you to pay attention to. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Now, think about that for a minute. He meant well. And Jesus didn't go, Peter, I understand, you meant well. He made sure, he firmly let him know, you put me in extreme danger by not having focus on God. Do y'all get this? Because there's a lot of times we can do stuff for others and mean well. Amen? But are you doing it through God, or are you doing it through how you do it? Now, I'll give you an example. There was a guy who was with a friend, and he would joke all the time. Because in his mind, people love to laugh. Unfortunately, how he was doing it was at that friend's expense. Now, because he thought it was funny, why aren't you laughing? What is the matter with you? Not realizing he was crushing his friend, his ego and everything about this friend. And his friend was going deeper and deeper, and he was mad at the friend because he didn't have a sense of humor. You understand that? Even when it was brought to his attention, maybe you want to cut back on what you're saying and how you're saying. He was like, he needs to get a joke. He needs to learn it. You see where I'm going with this? And now he's thinking, and he meant well. He's thinking, I'm trying to be in his life and make him laugh. I mean well. Now, if he read God's word, he would consider, you know what? This might not be helping. Maybe I need to stop. Do y'all get this? Okay? Because he was causing more damage, meaning well, and not being well. Do y'all get this? Amen? So it's our responsibility to check this. Realize that those who are considered stumbling blocks, watch this, is eternally doomed. Now, once again, it's not coming from me, it's coming from the word. Matthew 18, verse 7 says, woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. The reason why the world is doomed, and he says it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and this earth is going to be destroyed by fire. The reason why that's going to happen is because it's being used by Satan. It's doomed. He says it's on its way out. But here's the warning right here. He says, such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. Did y'all catch that? It says, woe to the man through whom they come. So in other words, if I'm allowing the world to utilize me to help you fall, man, am I in trouble. Anytime you see the word woe in front of anything, like the great woes in Revelation, you don't want to be in the other end of a woe. Do you understand that? It's a very dangerous part. And he's stressing that this is a very dangerous place. And sometimes when we follow the patterns of this world, even if we agree or we think it's okay, and I cause you to fall, oh, man. Do y'all get this? Okay? Man, am I in trouble. And he even goes deeper in it in Matthew 13, 40 to 43. It says, therefore, just as tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has an ear, let him hear. That last part is, he who has an ear, let him hear, is very important. Because sometimes we read scripture, we kind of bypass it, and we miss what was said here. He used two groups, all stumbling blocks. Everybody say all. And that includes everyone. Everything that's a stumbling block, and those who commit lawlessness. Now, some of us think, well, because of grace, this doesn't include me. No, this includes you. Because if you stay under grace, you won't be a stumbling block. Do y'all get this? But if I'm living for me, which is disturbing today, because you have a lot of Christians that have that me syndrome. I do what I feel makes me comfortable, and then I'll serve God. It's not how it's supposed to work. Do y'all get this? I'm supposed to step out and be an instrument used by him. Sometimes it will make me uncomfortable. Do you think Paul was saying he didn't want to eat meat because he wanted to be a vegetarian? No, he's saying, I will make myself uncomfortable in order for the comfort of others. Think about it. That's deep. That's true godly love that we are supposed to show, instead of sometimes love, what we call love. As long as I'm okay with it, as long as it doesn't bother me, then I'll do it. Then you really can't be used by God. That's why his word kept saying, you must deny yourself. So you don't want to be on this end. It's very dangerous. But also understand, when I live as a stumbling block to my brother, I am also stumbling block to myself. And more importantly, it puts my Christianity into question. So this is where we are talking about how grace, sometimes if you don't understand grace, you'll use grace wrong. Some people think, I'm under grace, I'm covered. So I can live as an evil, worst person on earth, I'm covered. You really need to study your word. Really need to look how that works, okay? Grace is a choice. That's something you choose to stay in. Does that make sense? And how will I know if I'm in grace? Well, there's going to be evidence if I'm in grace. If I'm staying in grace, if I chose to. Here's one of the evidence. It shows us in 1 John 2, 9 through 11. 1 John 2, 9 through 11 says, anyone who claims to be in the light. Now stop there for a minute. So somebody who says, I'm a Christian. Sounds good, right? But they're saying it. He says, claims to be in light, but hates his brother, is still in darkness. Think about what he's saying. So there's a lot of people who say they're Christians, but you watch the evidence, oh, no, they're not. And hate is not an emotion. Hate is an action. Okay? So if God is love, hate is if I do anything opposite to you. Be careful, because sometimes hate can come in a form where it feels good. Remember the one verse says, those who spare the rod from their child hate their child. Y'all remember that? All right. And you may, and most parents who do it think, no, I just don't believe in that type of punishment. No, I don't believe. Okay, sounds great. But the Bible's telling you your actions are displaying hate. Same thing happens when we are with our brothers and sisters. Sometimes we show human love, which goes against godly love. And in reality, we're hating our brothers. Do y'all get this? Okay. We're not watching how we're doing it. He says, if you still hate them, even though you say you're a Christian, he's saying, no, you're not. Okay, he's making that very clear. It says, whoever loves his brother lives in the light. Did y'all get that? So I truly am a Christian. It will be displayed on how I live. It was saying, lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. So he's walking, he's doing the right thing, he's focused. Why? Because he's truly living based on God's word. He's looking to live the way God intended him to live. But watch this. It says, but whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. So when you're not knowing where you're going, what are you doing? Stumbling, tripping, falling, because you have no idea. And this is what happens to all non-Christians. We walk around thinking, I have it all figured out, and we're tripping and falling all over the place, and we're making other people's trip and fall all over the place, and that's a problem. If you truly are a Christian, it will be displayed. Once again, you won't have to say it. It will be shown. Does that make sense? In how you live. Not necessarily some glow that you have. I know some people think, well, I just walk in the room. Man, I know that person's a Christian. You can see the glow. That's great. That sounds great and everything. Could be they bathe that morning, but it could be some other things out there. But the real thing, as the Bible shows us, it will show in how you deal with things, how you go through things. You understand? You'll go through a trial that everybody else is going through, and they'll see this peace. Why is he so peaceful? Right? Why is he still loving? But if I'm still walking around like a grump, angry at everybody, tripping out just like everybody else is, so am I still a Christian? You know what I mean? There's a person I worked with years ago, and I remember that anytime something would go off, they would get so annoyed. People who were not Christians were more patient than them. You see them kind of turn and look at them. And they would come and say to me later, they're a Christian, right? And it's, what am I supposed to say? Do you understand that? But the truth is, there was no light. Do you understand that? They may have gone to church. They may have read their Bible, man, but they were the most evil. They were angry. They were disrespect. Everything about that the Bible says we're not supposed to be, they displayed. So I had to approach them, and it was a tough time, but it was a good talk. I don't know what happened after that. I haven't seen them in years. But it's one of those in which we have to realize that if you are, remember, how do we know each other? By our fruit. As now it says, know each other by their fruit. You will know them by their fruit. And if you look at the fruit of the Spirit, it's your displayed in how you live. It'll be displayed in how you live. So how do we do this then? How do we live measuring all of our decisions? How do we do this? Well, it's actually pretty simple, but we have to stay focused. Live to glorify God, and we will live to save others. In a nutshell, if I live my life to glorify God, if that's my entire goal, to glorify God, then I'll live a measured life. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 10, 31 through 11, 1. 1 Corinthians 10, 31 through 11, 1. It says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now, what does that mean, for the glory of God? Now, once again, God has all the glory. We can't give him glory. But when it says to glorify God, it means we are displaying him. We are magnifying him to others. So he gave the most simplest things here, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. That covers everything, right? He took some of the simplest things, and then he added everything else and said, so whatever you do, make sure what you're doing is showing God. Did y'all get that? And do you notice it's in the action? It's not some simple thing somebody just knows and you're in the Spirit itself, because the Spirit's going to display in what you do. He says, whatever you drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So that means people will see me minister, and they may never have to talk to me. Does that make sense? Okay, because we're displaying a joy, we're displaying a peace, we're displaying a gentleness, a patience that makes no sense to others. It's ministering. That's why they say when they see your good deeds, they'll glorify your Father in heaven, because they'll go, I know he didn't do that. Do you understand? They'll see something else and they'll want that something else. It says, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jew, Greek, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everybody in every way, and understand when he says please everybody in every way, the Greek word is not meaning for them. It means do it for in the right way for God. Do you understand that? He's saying, for I'm not seeking my own good, like we read earlier, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. The last part is the most important part. So I don't live to please you based on you. We're going to talk about that. Okay, that's very important too. But I live for you in God. Does that make sense? Okay, see, if I live for you and you, I'm an enable. But when I live for you in God, my goal is to get you to God. That's the goal. Does that make sense? Not to get you out of my life because you're getting on my nerves. not to get you because I don't like your lifestyle, not to get you away because I don't agree with your politics. No, I got to minister to all, and that's why he put in here, whether Jew, Greek, or the church, he's saying these different groups sometimes got in their little cliques, they bashed other cliques. Do you understand that? We are not supposed to do that. Never, ever. Do y'all get this? All right? May they be wrong. Absolutely. But our goal is to still glorify God, not to make them stumble. I don't want to be one of the reasons why they are stumbling. Does that make sense? In fact, I can't be one of the reasons because I have to answer to God for that. So he says, I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many so that they may be saved. That should be my goal every time I come home. Not how many projects I finished at work, not how comfortable my day went, not how sunny it was outside. It was how many people, as I went through life, did I affect them in a godly way? Did I affect everyone in a godly way? Can you honestly say that? You understand that? I can tell you something even simple that I had to learn the hard way. So I don't honk my horn when I'm driving. And I'm coming. When I lived in Philly for years, so it taught me to drive a little aggressive in there. And in driving in that way, sometimes when people drive slow, you get angry. And people, you know, they honk their horns. I said I would never do that. But there was one time I think my arms was failing and going all this. And the person in front knew me. And they were like, either you were dancing or I was going to. And the only thing that hit my mind was, even when I'm not saying anything, I didn't touch a horn or anything, I was still displaying. And all I could do was laugh and say, yeah, that was me being impatient. Amen. Yep, that's what it was. And the problem was, I'm thinking, see, I'm keeping it all contained. Instead of just going, Keith, you have no business doing that at all. Does that make sense? Okay? And we have to make sure we're focusing on that because I got to make sure I'm not causing that person to stumble. Oh, Keith's supposed to be a Christian. He's impatient even driving. Do y'all get this? Little things. In a nutshell, live for others based on God's will is basically what it's saying. Ephesians 5, 15 through 21 says, be very careful then how, everybody say how, you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. He can't make that any clearer. So in other words, first of all, the Bible tells us how to get wisdom. So I got to grow in getting wisdom so I can live wise. It'll make me go into an environment and there's certain things I will not do just in case it may cause somebody to stumble. You'll never hear me go, I don't care about these people. Oh, you better, because God does. And if I'm one of the causes of helping them to fall, I have to answer to him. He says, making the most of every opportunity. Does that make sense? Making the most, you may go to a spot that you say, I'm never going to be here again. Make the most out of that opportunity when you're in that spot. Shine as much light as you can in that occasion. He's saying, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So we're supposed to be the light in this dark generation. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Very important. Are we growing to know what God's will truly is? That's the next sermon coming up, just to let y'all know. So, to help you out on that. But a lot of us, do you know what that means? You know, the Bible even gives us a guideline of how we're supposed to know God's will. He says, no longer conforming to the patterns of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to prove what God's will is. Do you understand that? So he gives us this guidance. Are we living in that path or not? It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Now, let me be clear. When it says speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, it doesn't mean we should break out into song. All right? It's not saying that. It's saying even when I'm singing, I'm going to speak to you. I'm ministering to you. You understand that? With the same things, it's coming to with the same pattern that these songs should. Not just so you enjoy a nice sounding song. It's that we're ministering to one another. It says, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. In other words, make it your purpose that as I'm singing this, I'm glorifying him. I'm displaying him to others, and I'm worshiping him to him. I'm letting them know how much he means to me. And then he says in verse 20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Why is that so necessary? You want, first of all, that's in your mind. We're going to go through some tough times. We're going to go through some things that make no sense. Part of our lives, things are going to happen, which we're going to get frustrated. Please, first of all, thank him. Do y'all get this? When you first thank him, then you can bring it to him. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything present your requests to the Lord through prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. All right? Why? Because there's a reason why he's allowing us to go through some things, and we don't always get it. So immediately, the first thing you should do is thank him. Then say, God, I'm struggling with what I'm going through and all this, but I thank you. I don't fully get what's going on, but I thank you. Do y'all get this? Because it says, and we know that through God works through all things for the good of those who love him. Am I right? So if I know it's for my good, I may not see it. I may feel frustrated. I'm still going to thank him because I know it's for my good. It says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Did y'all catch that? So all this comes together for me submitting to all of you based on Christ. I don't submit to you based on you. That's dangerous, believe it or not. I submit to you based on Christ. Remember, submission means to yield. I recognize your role. I recognize your position. I recognize where you are. So when I submit to one another, I submit to you for as a pastor, I got to submit to you in your role as the sheep. I'm an under shepherd and I have to feed his sheep. So I better submit and do it the way he says. If I came in here and went, you know what? I don't think anybody's listening. I'm tired. I'm not going to preach. I'm going to shorten. I'm going to see, that's my problem. That's not your problem. And now I have to answer to him where he said, wait, I told you to feed my sheep. Do you get this? I have no right to come in here and make no judgment like that. And sometimes we tend to do that. We tend to be the authority. No, submit to one another based on Christ. Until Christ tells me to stop, I'm going to keep preaching. Does that make sense? So my reaction has to be based on Christ. So hopefully we understand the whole thing of having measured decisions. But I want to make sure we take note of this. Understand that when we do it for others, it's never based on others. I can't stress that. And that's why I have you have take note. Don't mistake considering others for pleasing others based on them. Okay? Don't make that mistake of doing it. We must consider others based on God. That's why it says in Galatians 1, verse 10, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. So now be careful, because sometimes we'll do this to a person's liking. That's not what this word is saying. Okay? I'm doing it for your good, and only God is good. So I better do it in line with God. Does that make sense? There was a friend, and they were doing wrong. They had a Christian brother who would go and let them know in the most loving way what they were doing was wrong. But they had another one who just accepted them for whatever they were. They loved that second friend. Let me do whatever I want. They thought that was the best friend on earth while they kept sinning. And they kept doing wrong. But he was close to that friend that was allowing him to do it, not realizing he was pleasing him, not for God. Do y'all get this? Be very careful that you're not doing it based on them, that you're doing it based on Christ. This takes a lot. This takes a lot of thought, a lot of prayer, a lot of communicating with your brothers and sisters on how to do it. And it should be a daily thing. Let's not take this lightly. Let's measure it each and every day. Amen? All right. As the word says, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We take this time out to talk to our Father, and hopefully we're doing this every single day, continually praying to him, talking to him, giving him thanks. Amen? For those of you who would like somebody to pray with you, make sure you see myself or one of the deacons after services. We'd be more than glad to pray with you. And as you should always do as an example to your children and along with your children is pray continually. Amen? Prayer and meditation.